The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Black Friday savings are on at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there now. That's the family name, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. We're going to talk plenty about them. The Sage is back. We are excited. And everyone, remember, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. If you've got a water issue, they specialize in water mitigation. Mold, they're a licensed mold remediation specialist. Fire restoration, they'll rebuild, they'll make your repairs. They handle all aspects of property restoration, from the initial damage assessment, which is free, all the way up to whatever you need. So call them 24/7. Their emergency services team is ready. Owner Josh Martin has a $500 discount waiting for you if you call, mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, and you can get it if you need their services after they respond and come out and evaluate your damage and to see if you need them. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call them first. Check out their 5-star Google reviews. They service the entire Tampa Bay area and across the state. So don't hesitate. 24/7, Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
The guy barely knew which end of the handle to hold. The Asian woman's still looking for me about the massage. She thought I was a bon vivant, loquacious, funny.
Buccaneers fans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. He's Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, and I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is not here tonight, but Lee and I handled the last Ira Kaufman podcast. You can go back and find that at JoeBucksFan.com.
I hear you did a bang-up job over there,
Isbitz. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, Ira. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. You know what, Ira? We told everybody on that podcast that we were so happy that you were not there because you had had multiple vacations, three of them, I believe, canceled because you had just things came up in your family, bad luck, and this time, boom,
hell worked. Or high water, we're doing it.
It worked out. The Sage got to go on a fancy cruise big time, and I'm sure you got some stories, but you look refreshed. You got your tan is working, your haircut is sharp. It doesn't look like you gained 12 pounds at the buffet.
Maybe eight.
So shit, we're just happy for you, Ira. You gotta tell us couple of vacation anecdotes before we get to the exciting stuff going on with the Bucks.
I'll make it quick, Steve. It was an 11-day cruise. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And as a matter of fact, Steve, when we were leaving today in Fort Lauderdale, some of the people, not a majority, but some of them that were on our 11-day cruise, they stayed on because it was going to be another 10 days. You could have taken an 11-day or a 21-day.
Wow.
They were going to stay on and go to a couple of different islands. So we left out of Fort Lauderdale. My brother flew in.
Barry.
From Palm Springs with his new girlfriend, who we had never met. And so we had 11 dinners with them, breakfast, excursions out the yin-yang. St. Thomas, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, a little island called Dominica, and St. Martin. And then their private island for Holland America, Half Moon Key. Food was, I give it a 9.5. All
wow.
You wanted.
Wow.
All you wanted.
What'd you eat for breakfast most of the time?
Most of the time, scrambled eggs, crispy bacon, and a pineapple Danish, and coffee. Coffee was shaky, Steve. You know me with coffee. Got to be good coffee. Shaky. But other than that, the dinners were in the dining room. The riffraff goes to the Lido deck, you know, open 24/7.
Party
carrying
crowd.
Four
party
plates.
Crowd. Yep.
Yeah, party crowd. We're over there with a sit-down dinner, nice button shirt. Waiter, what can I get you? A little drink to start? You know, a little wine? The whole thing was good. Now, tomorrow I get the bill for the onboard activities. My wife got this. She got the hair done. She got the massage. The Asian woman's still looking for me about the massage. No, it's not going to happen. Won the ping pong tournament? Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
There's an asterisk. You want to know the asterisk?
You won the ping pong tournament.
You want to know the asterisk?
Go ahead.
I'm afraid to say it because you're going to laugh me off.
You were the youngest in the tournament?
One other entrant. The guy barely knew which end of the handle to hold. Oh, my God. So I go, at the end, I go, what do I win? You know, I figure, maybe I get a massage out of this thing. She gives me a little You need a microscope to find this little trinket. It's now floating in the Atlantic Ocean.
So it was like an arcade toy for a kid.
A little arcade toy.
Wow. So did you get any exercise? Any pickleball? Any tennis on the boat? Anything like that?
11 decks. Checked every room. There was only one room that I did not enter. Fitness room. Didn't make an appearance. My brother kept saying he's in there every day doing push-ups. I'm over there waiting for the next toasted bagel to come out. But I got to give him high marks. Got some portrait pictures.
So was his girlfriend devastated when she saw you, realizing she got the wrong Kaufman?
No, because she hears me on the Mad Dog. Barry puts her, you know.
Makes her listen?
Yeah, okay. Makes her listen.
What a romantic guy.
She thought I was a bon vivant, loquacious, funny. She's ready to dump him for me over there. I'm the younger brother, Steve. You got to remember that. She's a nice woman. Who knows what the future holds for those two, but they're in love, Steve. That's all I can say.
Unbelievable, Ira. Well, we're so happy you got to go and have a great time. And are you refreshed? Were you sad to come back? What's going on?
It was time. I don't think I would do an 11-day. No wonder people do 7 days. That sounds about right. 7-day trip. Right now, we got the holidays coming up, Steve. We're thinking about Thanksgiving, thinking about Christmas. Got our Christmas cards. Nice portrait of the two of us.
I'm just disappointed. No Cosmo in the Christmas card. That's not okay.
Yeah. We're picking him up.
It's part of the family.
Yeah, we're picking him up. And no, Sam. I'm refreshed, and I came home to see the Falcons not show up in Denver. Horrible performance.
So you know what? Let's start there, Ira. The Falcons.
All of a sudden, they're 6-5.
We had talked about it. I said, look, they got those three tough games. They may not win any of them. They get blown out 38-6, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Didn't show up. Kirk Cousins, Ira, when he's not playing the Bucs this year, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, no good.
This is not the first time they've been blown out. I think Seattle blew them out, too. The Bucs don't get blown out.
Their defense is probably worse than the Bucs. Statistically, it's worse on
third down. And their offense isn't close.
So next they have a bye week for Atlanta. Kirk Cousins had a bit of a shoulder issue. Penix played at the very end, but it wasn't because of that. And then they've got the Chargers at home, followed by at Minnesota. So they very well could be 6-7. Now, as crazy as it sounds, Ira, the Bucs, they've got the Giants next week. Giants terrible, 2 wins. Then they've got Carolina on the road. We know Carolina's no good. And then they come home for the tanking Raiders. So, I mean, we very well could be looking at, as crazy as it seems, after the Saints loss.
Said I would put the Bucs at 7-6.
Put the Bucs at 7-6 after the Falcons lost to the Saints last week. We could be looking at 7 and the Bucs leading the division, which is wild. But you know what? If Lee were here with us today, he'd say, pump the brakes. This team's defense is terrible. And who would be surprised if they lost to the Giants or the Panthers 24-23?
Steve, again, past his prologue. I understand they have some different players, but the coaching staff's the same. The one thing about the Bucs, Steve, I think even DeKemper would admit it. They're going through the throes of depression right now. But it's a tight unit, and I think that matters. It mattered last year, and I think it's going to matter this year. They're not going to throw the towel in. They're not. You know, are they going to make the playoffs? Well, the New York Times says 33%.
After today, Ira, frankly, it's probably
it's
42, 45, yeah.
Yeah. Look, Bowles isn't a dummy. He's going to get together with his coaches, or he did during the bye week. Self-research, self-scout. Let's use these guys in a little bit different ways, different schemes. I think you're going to see a different Buck team at the Meadowlands.
Sage, what do you think of Bowles giving the Bucks 6 days off in a row? He could have practiced last Wednesday, opted not to. He said publicly, we have so many injuries, we'd only have a walkthrough anyway. I gave these guys 6 days off. I only had to give them 4. Now, yet he talks about, we got to tighten up the details, communication, this kind of stuff. Don't you think just coming to the facility for a day is a good thing?
Well, I think he's going to be hard on him this week, Steve. This is not going to be an easy week, especially after, you know, getting so many days off. He's going to ride him hard, which I think he should. And I don't want to hear the word miscommunication Wednesday. This is a shout-out to you right now, Mr. Bowles. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to be in row 2
hear
on
that,
your
Todd?
Right.
Hear that?
And I don't want to hear miscommunication. What I want to hear is we're going to play a lot better in the Meadowlands. There's no reason to come in a day early and look for the body of Jimmy Hoffa, Stevie. No reason for that. And I'll say this, and I hate to say it. They lay an egg against the Giants. It's over. They lay an egg against the Giants. I'm not giving this team any chances. Giants, They're terrible.
Yeah. When you say it's over, what does that mean? You mean that Ira Kaufman says they got no shot at the playoffs, or it's over, Todd Bowles, you lost five in a row, you came out off the bye and lost to one of the worst teams in the league, you're finished, your job is finished, or, hey, this team just isn't any good, and Ira Kaufman think that, hey, if they can win seven or eight, that's probably as good as they are.
I think a Glazer coaching search would ramp up significantly if they don't play well against the Giants. They got to win the game. I mean, there's no two ways. The Giants are terrible. One of the worst offenses in football. And if they put a 30 spot on the Bucks, I mean, it's all over. So that's what I mean. Fans would be absolutely revolting. The result would be revolting. You know, Bucks are going to be favorites. Favorites going in. They could be favorites down the stretch. Maybe not against the Chargers, but for most of those games. But to Lee's point, the way this team's playing, you can't assume anything about them. And so Lee's point might be proven Sunday at the Meadowlands. You got to go win this game.
You have to. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I give up. I wave the white flag if they can't win off a bye against a terrible
football
team.
No matter what the mathematics say.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, you got to win this game for the reality of your season. And so, you know, that coaching search, you know, we have so much time to talk about it if it actually gets there. I firmly believe they will win the next three games, Ira, but they have a lot to prove. Do you think there's more pressure on Todd Bowles now because the Saints have won two in a row? Because the Falcons have lost two in a row?
Yes.
Does this make the Glazers look at the landscape and say, you know what, there's no reason why we can't win?
What are we going to finish third in this division? Thank God for the Panthers. And who knows? They got to play the Bucks twice, and at this point, I'm not sure the Bucks can sweep them. And neither are you.
I am pretty sure. I'm a believer, Ira. Right, I'm a believer.
There you go. And now, Steve, at this point in our podcast, I will drop this on you. You don't even know this is coming.
Well, wait. Before you do that, Sage, you know what? I was at BillCurryFord.com earlier, and you know what I saw just appeared for me, popped up out of the blue? Black Friday special, $1,500 off any vehicle purchase on the internet price. So that's a hell of a deal. From Bill Curry
Ford.
Does he
ever run out of incentives, this guy? Sean Sullivan?
Sean Sullivan, GM, Bill Curry Ford, diehard Bucks fan, host of the Best in Class podcast, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He's got all kinds of stuff coming. And as you always say, it never stops. But this is the time of year to buy a vehicle and get to BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry.
And by the way, Steve, speaking of Sullivan as a draft guru, if I remember correctly, Steve, talking about the quarterback class. Now, look, he loved Caleb Williams, and we're not closing any books on Caleb Williams. He said Bo Nix was a really good prospect. Bo Nix is going to do well. You know what? Bo Nix is tearing it up right now. He looks really good. I think he looks better than Jaden Daniels at this point.
You know, the league's caught up a little bit to Jaden Daniels, but it had to based on the way he started.
And they got a real good defense in Denver.
They've got a good defense. Denver's got to a degree. They still haven't beaten anybody really good, but they're doing very well.
They lost to the Chiefs on a blocked field goal at the end.
But, you know, the Chiefs beat a lot of teams by next to nothing. Caleb Williams had a hell of a game today. I watched that game. It just came up short with that.
Chicago just can't find the winning formula.
Got the field goal blocked, and, you know, his coach gave up on him. They basically got in field goal range, and they pulled the ball out of his hands. They ran the ball, killed the clock.
Was that the game that Washington scored on the Hail Mary? Was it against Chicago?
Well, that was against Chicago, but today Chicago beat Green Bay. Excuse me, Green Bay beat Chicago, and Chicago missed a field goal with 3 seconds left.
So nothing's going right for the Bears.
No, they're 4-6, and, you know, in that brutal division, and, you know, the NFC, tough year. The Bucks have to win 10 to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, Green Bay's not going away. Yeah, you know, they're solid.
No, not at all. But they've got a lot of tough games ahead.
The Niners lost in the last 20 seconds today. The 49ers are underachieving, Steve. I don't know what's going on.
5-5. They lost to the Seahawks, who are now 5-5. A huge division matchup that shakes up the whole landscape. The Rams are now 5-5. And Arizona is probably the best team in the division. The Bucs have an opportunity here in a weak NFC, although the NFC in many ways is stronger than the AFC. So crazy year. It's going to come down to the end. But if you want to get in, you got to win 10. For me, that's where the Bucs are sitting.
The Eagles
right now
have turned themselves around nicely too, Steve.
Yeah, and you know, as Lee and I said, the Bucs have beaten Washington, the Eagles, and Detroit who can say that in the NFC? Nobody.
And lost close to San Francisco.
Yeah,
right?
And we're right there with the Chiefs, but the San Francisco's not. That's not exactly impressive
that's
anymore.
Right.
But anyway, Sage, Bill Curry, Ford, they present your work at JoeBucksFan.com. We love them. Go to them first. Family-owned makes a difference. 65 years in Tampa. They're doing so many great charity efforts. I was talking to Jennifer Curry about how they're helping out. There was a warehouse in the area, Toy for Tots kind of situation, that was flooded. And they lost a lot of toys. They're helping make that up. And they're doing so many great things. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage. So you were going to drop some sort of news
I'm
or nugget?
Drop,
or
what
is this?
It's a taste. It's a tidbit.
It's like one of those appetizers
on the
cruise ship.
And I will try to have it to you tomorrow, Steve. My triumphant return to column writing. I'll say this. Nobody else in this market, nobody, would write this column that I'm about to write.
Wow,
tomorrow.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. Nobody,
that's it?
Nobody in this market will write this column except me. But I'm writing it.
That's it?
That's it. And it's going to be enough. I don't even tell my boss what I'm doing. It's unbelievable.
What the hell is that? All right. Well, gee, thanks
it's
a lot.
It's called intriguing, Steve. Intriguing.
All right. Well, I can ask you a few questions, right? You don't have to answer.
Sure.
Is it about a player?
No.
Is it about the Bucks organization?
Yes.
All right. Is it going to be people going to read it twice? Because they're so...
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, hey.
It's going to come out of left field.
The Sage is coming out of his bye week like the Bucks need to come out of their
That's
bye
right.
week. Against the Giants.
With juice.
A lot
With
of juice.
Juice, Steve.
All right. So fans want to hear your take on the state of the Bucks themselves, right? So you know the situation. You caught up on the 49ers game. Right now, what would you say is the state of the offense? What do they have to do? Are they good enough? If Mike Evans comes back, he's going to be double teamed. How's it going to shake out? What do we need to know?
Here's how it's going to shake out, Steve. Sometime during last week, and I don't care that the players had the week off. The coaches did not, and you know that. They got their buns in there at 6 in the morning like they usually do. They might have got a day or two off, maybe. Somewhere in that week, and I'm thinking it might have been by Thursday, and Bowles is going from room to room. He's hearing from his best and brightest. And by Thursday, Steve, somebody grabbed Bowles by the collar and said, "We're going with Bucky Irving. We're giving him 20 carries. Let's see what happens." They're depleted at receiver. You know, Otten's doing a nice job. We got to keep the defense off the field. It's not going to be a miraculous turnaround. Maybe they can get to 20th, 18th. Well, we'd be happy with that. We're going to give him a blow. We're going to ride this kid. Unless he's got a toe injury that we don't know about. That's more serious than we know about. Steve, he does it every week. He's not a flash in the pan. He's doing it every week. He's catching 40 yards of passes. He's running for 65 yards. I want to see more. I want more Irving until he shows me he can't handle it. This is the bye week. You make your call. Now, the offense hasn't been the problem. I understand that. But it can be even better without Godwin now. You got to do something. You got to make an adjustment. My adjustment, give that kid his touches. And give Tucker some touches. I understand. But I don't know. There's something about this Irving kid. I think you ride him. I think you ride him.
So you think that decision... In the sit-down, in all the extra meetings. And
I think the Glazers mentioned it, too. They've had meetings with the Glazers. Bowles has.
Sure, which is pretty standard. Ownership hangs around after a game. They talk on a Monday.
And the Glazers are not ignorant when it comes to football.
No.
They know football. Can't you see Ed Glazer saying to Bowles, why doesn't this kid get the ball more?
Well, it's a fair question. You know, I thought it was kind of funny, but before we get to what I think is funny, it's the same thing I said before. So you believe that the discussions have led to we're going to give Bucky a shot.
I want 18 carries.
All right.
Am I asking for the world?
We're going to make him a full-time back and see what happens for a game or two. That's what you're saying.
I want 18 carries.
All right.
And five catches.
So what changes are we going to see in the passing game, if any?
I don't have much faith in McMillan at this point, Steve. I just don't. Shepard could be a factor. He could be. Evans, here's what I know about Evans, Steve, and you know I'm right about this. Yeah, he needs to average 95 yards, and he's probably not going to average 95 yards. That's a huge number. For his career, he's probably at 70. It's a good number. We're talking about 95. That means you're giving him 15, 16 targets, you know. So here's Mayfield. He knows the streak. Here's Light. He knows the streak. Here's Bowles. He knows the streak. Here's Evans, you know, trying to hustle back from an injury instead of taking, like, an extra week. No, they need me. I'm coming back against the Giants. He's playing in this game, Steve. I don't care what the injury report says. So you said he's going to be double-teamed. Then you got the other factor. They want to keep the streak going. This is going to be very interesting. I think they're going to go to him heavily when they're not giving the ball to Bucky Irving. I want to see what Evans can do when he's 100% healthy. Well, and I'm hoping he's 100%
healthy. First of all, we got to see him take deep shots. I mean, they're not taking the deep shots no matter what, which I know is a pet peeve of yours. It's not happening within the offense. Doesn't mean they're not successful.
Evans wasn't getting his normal separation, Steve, with that hamstring. He wasn't.
Not for a bit, but I mean, look when he got hurt. He got hurt on a ball he could have caught in the end zone, you know, of all things. The streak, I'm glad you brought the streak up because it lives and breathes at one buck.
Yes.
And
there's a Hall of Fame angle to it.
They want him to get the streak. He cares about the streak. Mayfield cares about the streak.
Yes.
And it's going to come into play late this season in a big way because obviously they can't build the offense around the streak.
And he probably can't afford to miss any more games.
No, he can't miss any more games. But what it's interesting to me, the Bucks play the Panthers second to last game of the season. I wonder, knowing Dave Canales' personality, does Dave Canales say, if he's out of it at that point, does he say, you know what, we could double Mike as our focus on defense, or we could sell out to stop the run and lean into Cade Otton and don't let anybody else beat us? I bet you Dave Canales, the kind of guy he is, says, you know what, let's go with the other option that we feel we can win and let Evans light it up.
Now, he's got to answer David Tepper, Steve.
I understand.
He does.
I understand, but I could see something like that happening. But, man, if they're out of it, they're going to be pounding Evans those last two games. He'll get those 16, 17 targets to try to jack him up, which, I don't know, you'll get a lot of people talking about, oh, it's an asterisk in the record book.
Do you think running the ball more often will help this defense? Or do you see any correlation between it?
No,
because they're going to score less points. Is that what it is?
Look, the Bucks defense, they need to cover people, be more aggressive. Tom Brady today, again, on TV, he's talking about tightening up in the secondary, and you got to be aggressive. You can't play afraid. And, you know, a team, he was speaking about, you know, a team allowing 12 yards on third and 14, not good enough.
Not good enough.
You know, fourth and two, we don't want that.
That's right.
So,
defense thinks they did a good job. Hey, you didn't get a first down. But fourth and two, now they're going for it.
Right. So, I mean, the Bucs need to make a decision. The only thing that's going to fix this defense is better play or just a decision to be more aggressive, live or die, and not just allow free reign.
I got a perfect example, Steve, of what Brady's talking about. And I know he was probably thinking about this game, too. He benefited from it because the other team played soft coverage. And, of course, it was the Chiefs. This is before Spagnola came to town. It was a playoff game. It was a tremendous playoff game.
With that terrible coordinator who drove you crazy.
Yeah, Sutton. And the Chiefs playing 12 yards off the line of scrimmage. Brady's having a field day. You know, every pass is going for 8 yards. It's uncontested. The chains keep moving. And I'm screaming at the TV, tighten up. Spagnola's not like that. He's much more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a few Super Bowls to prove it. Brady feasted on those kind of soft zone defenses. He's speaking from experience.
Any good quarterback is going to.
Especially when the rush isn't very good.
Yeah.
How would you describe the Buck pass rush? By the numbers, they got some sacks. They got sacks. I don't think it's been good.
No edge rush is a problem. You see it even the big game today with the Chiefs and the Bills. The edge rushes on both sides stepping up, especially the Bills late.
Especially the Bills.
So, I mean, you have to have that if you want to win big games. Do the Bucks need an edge rush to win their next three games? No. It certainly would help, but there's no sign of improvement. Nobody's coming in to save this thing.
You know who I still saw making some plays, speaking of edge rush? Von Miller. Old man Von Miller.
Yeah.
You know, they only use him, what, 30 snaps? But they use him wisely.
Now, Sage, Mike Edwards was re-signed. The former Bucs safety, drafted in 2019, Super Bowl guy, then left for the Chiefs. Last year, played every game for the Chiefs. They didn't bring him back, but he goes to the Bills, and he was supposed to win a starting job, but he didn't. Damar Hamlin came all the way back. Edwards missed a lot of OTAs.
How are the Bucs going to use him, Steve?
Some training camp, and he asked out of the Bills.
He's not taking Tyke Smith's job.
Well, this is what I'm asking you is, like, why are they even signing him? Now, the reason I say that, Ira, is they didn't make a deal at the trade deadline. Edwards was on the trade block. They could have gotten him. We'll give you our seventh-round pick, Buffalo, and we'll take yours because you know you're going to be better than us, and we'll take Edwards off your hands.
We don't think Winfield or Whitehead are injured.
They've had good play from Christian Izian, who's backing up the safeties, and Tyke Smith. So you got, here's the thing, you got Edwards, who they didn't trade for him, and then he is a free agent. And
I guess it's one of those, he knows the scheme. What else could you say?
Well, the Titans signed him, and then they cut him, and now the Bucks want him. So it's like, what changed to make them want Mike Edwards? I don't know if Zion McCollum is hurt with his hamstring worse than they're telling anybody, that we're going to find out this week. I don't know if Jamel Dean's delayed. Maybe
you see Edwards as an outside corner?
No, but
I don't.
But if they're desperate, if he knows, if they think he can do it, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I'll say this, Steve, and I don't think they're about to shake things up to this degree, but Whitehead's not playing particularly well. He's not. And I can't say anything about it because I thought it was a great move to bring him back. You know, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Yeah, we all liked it.
Yeah. He doesn't look like the same player that he was the first time around with the Bucks. And the Jets let him go, Steve. He had three picks against Josh Allen in week one. I think he got one more, Steve, for the rest of the year. And they let him go. And I guess they feel they need a little help. Maybe they'll start to rotate him with Whitehead. Winfield's not leaving the field. And he's not playing great.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Steve, Winfield's not playing great. But he's not leaving the field. You know that. Nor should he.
No, and hopefully this bye week gets him healthy because it's been obvious that he's not right. And maybe it's just one of those things that needs a lot more than 2 weeks to get right.
Steve, it's not a great situation when you're looking at Jamel Dean to kind of fix your cornerback problem. He's okay, Steve. He's always been okay.
Well, he is a fix compared to the other guys. Yeah. So, you know, it's all relative, and he's been on the field doing a lot of good things before, but he's not a great player. And I guess my biggest question to you, Ira, this week, you know, the Bucks come back to practice. You said that he's going to be hard on them.
They still
have time left in pads. Do you think they're in pads on Wednesday, knocking each other around? Because Bowles is usually very hesitant to do that. And I guess the other question would be,
if you're ever going to do it, Steve, this is the week. They're rested.
You would think so.
They're rested.
What, you think they're going to do it or not?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So the Bucks are going in pads. You think there's any lineup changes coming that maybe Bowles even gets out in front of and says, hey, we're doing this, just so you know?
Well, certainly not on the offensive line, which has been the strength of the team along with Mayfield. Otten's not going anywhere. What are you going to do at receiver? Maybe you give Trey Palmer a little bit more leeway. You know, I've seen enough of McMillan at this point. I'm not giving up on McMillan, you know, down the line.
Sure.
But he hasn't done much to deserve more playing time. Defensively, Steve, you always mention some of these fringe edge rushers. You know, why don't we see these guys? They're supposed to be terrors in the preseason. The other guys are not getting the job done, Steve. Yeah, they're not getting the job
Jose
done.
Jose Ramirez, I don't know. Maybe they make some bold decisions.
Watts?
Watts has been hurt, so it's not going to be Watts, but I don't know, Ira. The fans are at a crossroads. A lot of them are ready to dump Bowles right now because they're not seeing it.
Many of them. Many of them.
Yeah, there's a good percentage.
They spell his name wrong on purpose, you know, just to twist the knife a little bit. He's on the hot seat.
Do you like the way he's been carrying himself? I mean, he knows that he has to win.
Well, as The Rock told me, Kevin Ross, when I mentioned Bowles, quote, he's never going to change. He's never going to change his style. Never going to change his demeanor. I look at that as a positive. A lot of fans don't, Steve. They look at Dungy. You know, where's the fire? It works for some guys, Steve. You know, Chuck Noll was not a ranter. It takes all kinds. No, Bowles isn't going to change. If you're waiting for that, that's not going to happen. He's not going to change at the podium, and he's not going to change on the sidelines. One more thing. You said, what adjustments can they make after the bye? I got one right now, Stevie. I don't know what the hierarchy is in terms of Jackie Davidson and analytics and whatever, and who's in Bowles' ear at crunch time in these games. Critical decisions, 4th and 3.
Sure.
What are we doing? Are we punting or we're trying a 58-yard field goal? What are we doing? I think the Bucks got to get much better at that. Bowles has to get better at that. It's a weakness going back a long way.
Yeah, look, nobody,
he's got a bad reputation in that regard.
Nobody can say, oh, he's a master at the end of the game. He's not.
I'm not asking him to be Belichick. But
I don't even think he's average. Now, speaking of, that's yours.
Yeah.
Speaking of Belichick, so he was on with Pat McAfee, and he was asked, hey,
I saw your story.
Get influential with you and do owners read the media? And pay attention to that? And do you feel it influences them?
So he's talking about Kraft, obviously, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did work for the Giants, but yeah, obviously he was talking about Kraft. And, you know, Belichick laughs and says, yeah, 100%.
The Boston Globe.
They read this stuff and he says, hey, you know, the Monday papers, read the Monday papers and this and that. My first thought was, well, we don't have a Monday paper in Tampa. There is no Monday paper.
That was a brilliant line, Steve. Brilliant.
But, you know, in all seriousness, though, you know, the Glazers, they march to their own drum, but they pay attention.
They do.
To what's going on. And any owner would in their right mind.
And if they're reading anything, they're reading us.
Well.
I didn't say only us.
I got you. I got you. But bottom line, Ira, they see everything. And I think in the past, it's never mattered to them unless it involves John Gruden.
And you're not helping Bowles with those coach polls that you're throwing up there every week.
Hey, it's not our problem. But where do you think the Glazers are in the realm of NFL owners influenced by media? Where do they stack up there?
I wouldn't say they're impervious to it. Far from it. I think it was a factor with Gruden. I think fans had turned on him by the end of 08 with the collapse. I think he had lost that sheen, that Super Bowl sheen. I think it was gone. They didn't need anything to fire Raheem. You can't lose your last 10 after a 4-2 start. You just can't. They're very aware of how fans are very lukewarm about Bowles, put it mildly. They're aware of it, and I think it's a factor. And I think it will be a factor if he's, you know, twisting in the wind by the end of the year. That's not going to help him. He's not a popular coach in Tampa, even though, you know, you could say he's done this, he's done that.
Yeah, not popular.
He's on tenuous ground.
That sums it up. He's not popular. It doesn't mean people hate him. Doesn't mean last year they were dying to get rid of him, but he's not a popular guy. He doesn't have those credits in the bank of being a popular guy to hang in there.
Not like Arians. Arians is popular.
Right. Yeah. But Arians could also talk his way out of a bad season. He would know how to do it. Bowles, he's not going to change. He doesn't really care. He never really references the fans.
I think he takes pride in being that consistent.
In doing it his way. Yeah. One thing that I heard, which I thought was very interesting, I did not write about it, but Bowles, there was a segment on NFL Night in America, Sunday Night in America, last week when the Saints won. Mike Florio was on there, said he had talked to the Saints' new head coach, and the guy had gotten some advice from Todd Bowles because they worked together in Miami. So I was like, you know, I'll wait on this because Bucks fans would go bananas if Bowles is helping.
You got to help a division coach out?
Yeah. His advice, per the Saints' head coach, Bowles told him, you got to do it your way, you got to just stick to your guns, do it your way, and that's it. And I think that goes to what you said, you know, many minutes ago. He's going to do it his way. He's not going to change. Everybody knows it. And this is what they got. But the fans don't like that. And the Glazers know that, too.
But I think the players appreciate it.
Yes.
I do think the players appreciate it.
Yeah, the players appreciate it. But you know what? We're going to find out if they really appreciate it if they come out with their hair on fire against the Giants. And, you know, Rob Gronkowski was on TV today talking about the Lions. And he said, you really know if you're a legit team if when you go to play a team that's well below you, you just beat the crap out of
them. And they've done that several times this year.
And this is the Bucks' opportunity to go beat the crap out of somebody.
You mean like 30-13 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go be up 2 touchdowns or 17 at halftime and cruise it out. And that's what Gronk was saying. We'll see if the Bucks can do that.
And then we'd have a happy podcast, Steve.
Sage, last question for you, and then we are out. We want to remind everybody, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Get there. Get to the website.
And his crew. That's right.
As we heard earlier, no reason not to be prepared. And, of course, if you have a disaster in your home, call now, 24/7, as we talked about, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com when you first call, and you'll get $500 back if you end up needing their services. And Bill Curry Ford, Ira, I would just encourage everybody. Car shopping can be very difficult, and you got to get to BillCurryFord.com. They make it easy. Their website is good, stronger than so many others.
Their inventory strong.
Inventory strong, family-owned. They've got great deals, and you have Sean Sullivan, who you can find on their website. You reach out to him, talk a little football, just ask him anything you need in the car business. He will help you and guide you, and it means a lot. Just get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, John Gruden, you know him well. You've known him for years. You know him personally. You know he was in the Glazers box. I know you've got some information about that. What do the fans need to know?
All right. Obviously, that's step one of a process. You have surmised that the Ring of Honor is dead ahead. Doesn't mean he's going to be the next one, but he'll be back in there. And I believe you're right. A couple of things. One, he wasn't in a suite. He was in the Glazers suite. That tells you all you need to know. So the orders came from the Glazers. The invitation came from the Glazers. That's number one. They don't do that if they weren't planning to get back him in their good graces.
And they put him on the Jumbotron. I know you weren't there, but they went out of their way to welcome him, put him on the Jumbotron.
And a majority of fans, Steve, I don't think there's any question, disagreed with taking him down from the Ring of Honor.
Sure.
I think people understood it, but they disagreed with it. He wants to get back into coaching. You put it all together and say, hey, if they make a change and move on from Bowles, that it's going to be Gruden. No, I don't think that would happen. But he wants back in. Gruden wants back in. Now, he would not take it because of Baker Mayfield. He likes Baker Mayfield. He likes the offensive pieces.
Real quick, Ira, as far as getting back to the Ring of Honor, my assumption is if they put him back, he returns very quietly before next season. There's no new ceremony. They just put him back up there.
With an announcement.
And they let everybody know that he's back, and you'll see it at before the first anyway, at the first
that's
preseason
smart,
game.
Steve. Yeah. That's a smart way to do it.
Go ahead.
That's a smart way. How did this start? Well, some people think it started at Monty Kiffin's funeral service, which I attended, Indian Rocks Beach, I think.
Only media member there, I believe.
Yeah, only media member there. The Glazers were there. I saw Gruden and Cindy. He was very circumspect that day. Number one, he left immediately. There was no lingering by Gruden. He sat in the back. I didn't see him have a lot of interaction with the Glazers beforehand, before the whole ceremony thing. But they were aware that he was there. And I think that meant something. I think that meant something. Brian was there. Joel was there. That was step one. And a big step it was. Maybe somebody reached out. You know, that got the ball rolling. And your instincts are right, Steve. His name's going back up in that stadium.
Yeah, I don't think he would go in their suite without that conversation. Like, that's not John Gruden. That's not his M.O.
Yeah. And you know how much it hurt him when they took it down.
Oh, devastated.
Devastating.
And especially the irony of they never took down his statue in the main entrance of One Buck. So, you know, they bring draft picks in. You know, they celebrate the first round pick. Yeah. Rah, rah, rah. All the employees are there.
And he's right in front.
The guy's standing in front of John Gruden's statue. You know, I mean, it's goofy.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you this. If things go south for Todd Bowles, do you think John Gruden, if the Glazers make a top 10 list of these are our target coaches, if John Gruden with the same agent, a guy you know well as Jason Light, and the buzz that Gruden would generate wouldn't be off the charts, but it would generate some buzz, and he's an exciting guy. He's the opposite of Todd Bowles. You think he lands maybe number four on their list of candidates?
You know, it's interesting. As you were saying that, Steve, it made me think of this. When they decided to move on from Dungy, which was not an easy decision for the Glazers, he was their first hire. And a controversial hire at that. Dungy had gotten nowhere in past interviews. Nowhere. And they hired him. He ends up being in the Hall of Fame, whether you agree or not. He has a fantastic winning percentage. Like, you know, 68% or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, he had Peyton Manning, but he didn't. You know, he also had Sean King, you know, and Trent Dilfer. So while you were saying that, Steve, I was thinking one of the things that led him to John Gruden. Now, he wasn't their first choice, Steve. Remember that crazy weekend?
Yeah, Parcells and all that stuff.
Maybe Mariucci. But in the end, and I think they had made an initial run at Gruden and been rebuffed by Al Davis initially. So that was the second time around for Gruden. But what attracted him was, we want an opposite personality from what we just had. And Bowles is pretty close to Dungy in terms of personality. So in that respect, yeah, he'll make the top 10 list. Ultimately, if it happens, I don't think it'll be Gruden. But I think he'll be back in football sooner than you think.
I don't think it'll be Gruden either, but I could see him being a leverage play against Bill Belichick, because if you're talking to Belichick, you got to have somebody for leverage for money, and Belichick would think, well, maybe they would actually go with Gruden, and maybe they save some money like that. I don't know. It would be funny after all this, you could put him back in the Ring of Honor and then basically string him along. Hey, you might be our head coach, but you have no intention of doing it.
You know,
like screwing him twice.
What if the Giants move on from their guy? Could Belichick turn down an offer from the Giants? That'd be tough.
Yeah, he could turn down anything, Ira. I mean, the guy's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. You know, you never know.
That's the way to end, baby.
All right, Sage, great to see you back. We'll be back this week from One Buck, and we'll talk to you soon.